morning, then evening, what day you cry. Night not been repeating last night, I'm not seeing all that, not having anything Monday night. I don't know why they give you a holiday on Monday, but I think you all need it, don't you? That's rather strange. So I'm going to continue the theme. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We talked about the three active realms of our personality. What things of Christ touches our mind? What state of Christ touches our feet? What shall I now do with Jesus touches our action on our heart? Now, for that still before you, the question is found in Matthew chapter 27. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? May I suggest three things to you straight away before we go further in our meditation? First of all then, place him there. Place him there. Remember it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The word really is that in all things he might be placed first. Now isn't that precious? I think it we all have received the Lord Jesus as a Lord and as our Savior. That is, we own him as a Savior, believing that he died for us upon the cross of Golgotha, that he shed his precious blood to cleanse him from every sin of sin. He has satisfied the claims of the Holy God. He has vindicated his throne. And God has proved that by placing his Amen to that offering and raising his Son from out among the dead. So, having now given Christ a place in our heart, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we opened our heart door, the Lord Jesus came into our heart, and what does the Bible say? For the wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Now, it is not enough just to give a place in my heart, not even a prominent place. Often in a convention like this, wonderful congenial circumstances, we give a prominent place. Or even the Lord's Day, we give the prominent place. Oh, they love it. He was deeply eminent place. And isn't he worthy of that? Yes, 10,000 times 10,000. He alone is the worthy one. So may we be willing this morning to place him first. Now, he must come before the wife. He must come before the husband. He must come before the children. He must come before my home. He must come before my job. He must come before the Almighty Dollar. He must come before my garden, before my TV, before my radio, before my automobile, before my dog, before my sweetheart. He must be Lord. Now please don't go away and say, why? Jim Barton came all the way from London to tell us, I've not to love my wife, I've not to love my husband, nor my children have a nice home, nor have a TV. Not at all. All I meant and the listening attitude are quite legitimate in your life and in my life. But they must all be subservient to Christ. May I repeat? They must be all subservient to Christ. He must be placed first. In all things, he must have this preeminence. What shall I now do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you from your very heart say with all sincerity, O precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter. Thy face let me see. Then thou shalt ever be precious to me. Not only must we place him first, but we must also publish his faith. Publish his faith. Now, once that he is Lord in your life and in my life, and that very often comes as a crisis in the believer's life, but it seems into our heart. But there's a moment comes in your life and in my life when we allow the indwelling Holy Spirit to sanctify Christ the Lord in every compartment and department of His life of ours. His Lord over my time, talent, and treasure. Lord over spirit and soul and body. His Lord over all, blessed forevermore. Never let before your heart go out and publish His name. He said to the demoniac, remember, who has been claimed from these demons, go home and tell the great things the Lord has done for thee. Psalm 107 verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. My prayer would not be going on talking about philosophies. Here is an idea about Christ. We've got to go out and minister Christ by lips and by life. And when He's Lord in your life and in my life, then it will not be difficult. Your life and my life will be an outshining of the indwelling Christ. And we shall publish His fame. We sometimes sing that grand old hymn, go and tell of Jesus. What a wonderful thing we have, haven't we? What a wonderful Lord who goes and saves the men and women and to share Him with others. I think that is precious, but time will allow me to develop that. First of all, place Him first. Publish His fame, and lastly, portray His faith. Portray His faith. Our brother this morning, more than one fact prayed, that as we behold the glory of the Lord through the Holy Scripture, we might be transformed, changed, transfigured into His own image. That your life and my life will indeed portray the lovely face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer. And I know it's your prayer. May His beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost and the wind. And may they forget the channel, seeing only Him, not I, but Christ, in every look and in every action. We must portray this. If we're going to do that day by day, this necessity is getting alone with Him. We must be in communion with Him. And as we are changed by beholding, remember it says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse number 18, verse 17 says, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. That we continue to behold Him in the mirror, the letter of God's Word, so are we changed from glory to glory into the same image. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 verse number 11, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, revealed through our mortal flesh. Again I repeat, it's not so much what I say, it's what I am that's going to come. It's not eloquence of lips, it's eloquence of the love life lived in the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to bring forth fruit for God's glory. How often do you listen to a dress and are just as clear as crystal and just as cold as ice? How often you listen to a dress beautifully constructed, heard words heard in the delivery, and it left you unmoved? You know why? There has not been that anointing of the Holy Ghost. And my friend, I would father your sermon with the seventh priest any day. Some of the greatest sermons, my friend, I ever witnessed, led by my little mother, way back yonder in Scotland, the nation and the glory. And I'm here because that mother prayed. I thank God for a praying mother who lives what you prayed. And I repeat with all my heart, it's not, my friend, the eloquence of lips we need today, it's the eloquence of love life lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now go back to the because they're precious to me and I want to become precious to you, I'm not talking down to you. And it all is poured from vessel to vessel. I trust grace being poured from my heart to your heart this morning. In the energy of the Spirit himself. We place him first. We publish his faith. And we portray his faith. Traveling along from Toronto, Ontario, to British Columbia, that beautiful train called the Canadian, the new evangelist and his wife. He had been invited up for ministry on the West Coast and then did a very wise thing. The arranged for them to have a bedroom on that beautiful train. The wife was upstairs in the observation car, looking at the wonderful scenery going through the Rocky Mountains. The evangelist in his bedroom, studying, praying, writing, preparing his heart for the ministry on the West Coast. He got up from his knees and left his book and went out just at the bedroom door, just in the corridor, to watch all the lovely scenery and yet did a break away from his study. He became aware of somebody standing beside him. He looked down and he saw a little girl. This evangelist is very fond of little girls. He said to her, "Hello, how old are you?" She said, "I'm 7. She said, Sir, are you Jesus? And he picked her up and said, "No, darling, I'm not Jesus. But I'm a Jesus man." "Oh," said, "Sir, I've been watching you, and you're different to the other men on this train. I thought you must be Jesus." Oh, the impression made upon a little 7-year-old mind, portraying the beauty. A personal illustration. Amos and I had gone into a restaurant outside Tiltonburg. I was preaching in Simcoe that particular night. In fact, I got to go back for a wedding there. We on Saturday, God willing. But as we stopped there for supper, I looked at my watch and I said, "Look, we must go. We've still got about 25 miles to go. We're going to be late for the meeting. The waitress is terribly slow." And we had a very nice meal. And I said, "I'll just tell the cashier what we've had and then go on." We got to the desk. I said, "Sir, the girl hasn't come with a check, so that's quite all right. Your meal's been paid for." "What do you mean?" I said, "Yes, your meal's been paid for." And I said, "Sir, I haven't paid the meal." Say, "No, but it's an unwritten law here. Those whom you recognize as Christians have a free meal." I said, "Sir, you intrigue me. How did you recognize that?" He said, "By your wife's demeanor, by her deportment, by her mannerism, and by her hair." And you both bowed and gave thanks. The sad thing about that story is that I've never felt free to go back to that restaurant. Even though I'm a Scotsman. There's the whole thing. But I want you to get this deep down your heart this morning, my friend. We must portray the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say with all the love of my heart, it's not eloquence of lips. It's eloquence of the love life lived in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Now, with all that before you, I think of a verse down, Acts chapter 2, verse number 36, and Peter on that wonderful day, Pentecost, preached that memorable sermon, and he said, "Let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God made the same Jesus, which he hath taken and with wicked hands crucified and slain, both Lord and Christ." Verse 36 of chapter 10 now says, and again Peter is fired by the Spirit, said, "He is Lord of all." His lordship is plainly declared. Man's estimation, a cross of wood, a crown of thorns, a wreath for a scepter, and it clothed him in mockery, and it said of naught. God's estimation, he has given in the eyes plain and him the fall. He placed a crown of pure gold upon his kingly brow. is given the royal sceptre and the authority to wield that sceptre, and my friend the robes of splendour and royalty adorn our adorable Lord Jesus. And all heaven bows toward him this morning, and they worship and they adore, and we cry, look ye saints, the sight is glory. See the man of sorrows now, from the fight returned victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown become the mighty victor's brow. His lordship is plainly declared. Now open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. His lordship is the only plainly declared, as in these two scriptures on the Acts, that here in Philippians chapter 2 we find his lordship is richly deserved. We're going to read reverently from verse number 5. Keep before you these words, he is Lord of all. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, the very substance, the very essence of God, thought it not robbery to be on equality with God, thought it not somebody grasped after, reached out after being on equality with God, as the first Adam did. There was never a time when he was not God. There will be a time when he will not be God. He is co-eternal and co-equal with the Father in perfection and in power. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word in eternity, and the Word was with God. His personality and the Word was God, his deity. And this morning we cry, thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifested in earth and heaven's beloved one, worthy O Lamb of God, of thou that every knee to thee should bow. Verse number 7, please. But made himself of no reputation, he never made himself of no character, and that's quite a difference. The only one who got the choice of the first place, and he chose the stable. The only one who got the choice of mother, and he chose Mary. He made himself with no reputation in his death. Crucified between two malefactors. And now notice something more here, will we? And took upon him the form of a servant. Please, look back, verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, now verse 7, took upon him the form of a servant. Oh, the condescending grace of our adorable Lord Jesus. This one was God, a very God, to take upon him the form of a bond servant, a bond slave, to do the menial task, to the Lord's servant slave. I am among you as one servant. I came not to be ministered unto you, but to minister, and to give my life a ransom for all. He that is chief among you, let him be your servant. I know how he exemplified that while here on earth. Let me know. And was made in the likeness of man. Speaking reverently, the Lord Jesus never made anything. By his own voluntary will, and by his own death and action, he became flesh. He became and the likeness of man. Now verse number 8. Man being found in fashion as man, not as a man, but as man. Only two men, the first Adam and the last Adam. One, the federal head of the whole of the physical race. The other, the federal head of the whole of the spiritual race. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all they made alive. In the first Adam, under the curse. The last Adam, in the blessing. In death, in life. In darkness, in light. in bondage, in liberty, in hate, in love, in condemnation, in justification, in separation, in acceptance. Now may I ask you lovingly, where are you? Oh, by nature are in the first Adam, unless you came from a monkey. And I'm sure you didn't. The father was looking for that. Oh, yeah. We are the descendants, my friend, of Adam. As if Adam all died. But now, by the miracle of the new birth, we are now in Christ the last Adam, alive under God, no more under the curse, before the curse we might have the blessing. He tasted death, that we might have light. My friend, in the darkness, that we might know light. He knew bondage, that we might know liberty. He knew hate, that we might know love. He knew condemnation, that we might know justification. He knew separation, that we might know acceptance. Aren't you glad you know him? Amen. Aren't you glad you're in Christ? Oh, accepting in him that the light is. Something more. It says, now, I'm being found in fashion as man. I like this. Remember it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, you could not help being born the very beautiful person you are. I couldn't help being born just as I am. It's by the natural course of events. But they part it, but he himself likewise to talk a different word altogether. We are partakers by the natural cause of events, but Christ by his own son will to talk of flesh and blood. That through death, he might destroy him with the power of death, and deliver him through fear of death, all the lifetime subject to bondage. Yes, he loved it. What a wonderful theme. Time was allowed. Little father, shall we? Says you now, and he came obedient up unto death. Now notice that. He did not become obedient to death as an enemy. Oh no. He was obedient to the will of the Father which made death. And he whose voice death ever fled. He came, my friend, obedient unto death. Up unto death. Even the cruel, loathsome, despicable death. That death of the cross. What for? That we should be dead might life. That we through the shedding his blood might know cleansing and complete forgiveness and brought back to God in the merits of that shed blood. Oh, the joy. No, I'm a sorry. This one, my friend, is those 7 steps in downward in humiliation. His condescending grace, our brethren pray this morning. Ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Were we able tonight to pass in the depths of poverty in which he did go, then at morning be able to measure the immense and the riches that belong to him, and we're sharing them with him this morning. Because we're co-heirs, joint heirs together with him. But now please notice, one of Paul's 55 wherefore. Notice what it says, wherefore God, I want you to notice, a principle running right through scripture. If we humble ourselves, we shall be exalted. But if we exalt ourselves, we shall be humbled. Now hear the Lord of life and glory. It says, he humbled himself, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Is it precious? The word highly only comes twice in Christ's return, once regarding his birth, and now regarding his glorious exaltation. The word is a super exaltation. Nothing, my friend, can surpass this. Oh, my friend, this morning the one who became poor is now rich, but a humbled himself as I thought. Part of them all, he said the other evening, he went soaring gliding through the great angelic host, that rainbow and circle crowed. And my friend, there we see him this morning, crowned with glory and with honor. But just see what the scripture says, because more than I can say to you. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, and notice it now, that in the name, not merely at the name, but in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things celestial, things of earth, things terrestrial, and things on the earth, things eternal. In heaven, earth, hell, there's left, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. Beloved, all in heaven, bow toward him and cry, Lord, not worthy, take the scepter and obey his law. All who've seen the bear cry this morning, Lord, thou art worthy, take the scepter out of him as Lord. One day all from the abyss shall rise, shall be assembled with great assizes, great white coal. They shall see the man of Golgotha, still bearing the mark of Calvary's passion, his hands and feet and sign. They shall see him, the knee shall bow to him, and the tongue will confess that he is Lord, the glory of God the Father. But their acknowledgement of this will seal the tomb for all eternity. They acknowledge my frame, my voice, and declare that God is righteous and just. In the condemnation, keep that before you and turn to Colossians 1. And we'll just read the verse. Verse number 20. If you've got time, when you get down to your own room, read from verse 12. Read verse number, last verse of verse 9, 18 says, that in all things he might have, he must, he will, he shall have the preeminence. The pleasure of Father in him should all fullness dwell, none of this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, will there be things in earth, all things in heaven, beloved, there's something missing. In Philippians chapter 2, things in earth, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. No under the earth here. Regarding my friend, his sovereignty, and acknowledging his Lord, the glory of God, all things celestial, terrestrial, or infernal, will declare his worthiness. But when it comes to reconciliation, there's no reconciliation with hell. And I know the teaching I'm brought today, because the rescue of all things, even the devil himself will be saved. Friend, listen, there's no reconciliation with hell. Do you get that? All in heaven, all on earth, we're willing to bow the knee now, acknowledge him Lord, reconciled to God through the death of his Son. May I ask you lovingly, before I go to another point, are you willing this morning in your spirit as a Christian to bow your will and say, Lord, thou art worthy to reign Lord supreme in every compartment and department of my life? Am I? Lord, you bought me to possess me, and I promise, Lord, come in. Am I willing for this? Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, verse number 9. His Lordship is plainly declared, richly deserved, and now here, Romans 9 verse 14, reads like this. chapter 14 verse 9, even the best men will make mistakes. Verse number 9. For to the same Christ will die, and rose, and revive, he might be, what does it say? Lord. Now his Lordship is longingly desired, richly deserved, plainly declared, and now longingly desired. He desired by faith to be Lord. He died, he rose, he revived, that he might be Lord. Is he worthy? Oh yes, you say, I know you. Am I this morning going to rob him of the fruit of his passion? Am I going to own him as my savior and not a sovereign? Is it going to be a divided allegiance in my heart? Democracy has gone to the wall. Dictatorship has taken its place. We find that every realm of life, every army is general, every navy is admiral, every team is a captain. Every firm has a director. Every home has a head. Man's soul, with all its battling problems, has a divine leader. Self, Christ. We wonder why there's no real rest, nor peace, nor joy, nor truth. Appetite for the world, desire for prayer, is because there is a divine leader this morning. Will your heart and my heart pray right now? The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me, dear Lord, to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Isn't he worthy? Did my good brother not pray along that line this morning? Is that not the prayer of that dear brother's heart? That Christ, may the Lord and Spirit may be allowed to take over in your life and my life, and I see by the improvement of the life of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so nice to listen to ministry, have our ears tickled. Nice messages, beautifully to my friend, but listen, we've got to do something about this. What are you going to do? Are you going to allow the Spirit to control him, Lord, in your life this morning? Will he reign without a rival? What shall I now do with Jesus as a Christian? When the boys and I were in Rome, a little while ago, we saw the name Garibaldi placarded all over the place. I was reminded, this is in history, that little land was just about to be thrown under by the enemy. Garibaldi, he saw a man standing on the street corner, standing in Market Square. He went up and said, told him about the common enemy. He said, are you willing to join me? I promise you tears, I promise you sweat, I promise you blood, I promise you privation, maybe starvation, maybe death, hardship. Now are you willing to rally with me and go up against the common enemy? One man rallied and went up. Lord of victory. Garibaldi was royal lauded, praised as the great liberator, the great emancipator. He is the wonderful savior. No praise too long or too long for Garibaldi. Some say, then why don't they put upon the throne the reign of sovereign? Isn't he worthy to reign sovereign? They were divided about that. They're willing to own him as savior, but not as sovereign. He wrought a wonderful deliverance, but not as sovereign. What did they give him? The Isle of Capri. Not for a honeymoon, by the way. They had banished him to the Isle of Capri. Now notice they were willing to own him as savior, but not as sovereign. Are you listening carefully? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You're not asked to receive Christ as savior. You're receiving as Lord. If thou shalt confess thy mouth Jesus as Lord, believe on the Lord, Jesus Christ. We're living as the chief event. We believe in him. But any surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of my friends depend upon Romans, John 10:28, were on the way to hell. They want Christ as Savior, sin from the penalty of sin. What is sin from the present sin? But no, nothing forever about the power of sin you deliver from that day by day. The Christ has died and lived from sin steadily. Now listen and deliver from sin's power. One day he's coming to a different sin's presence. Oh, the wonders. That's why we've got a very low moral standard among us today. That's why there's a low moral and a more spiritual standard among us today. Because we've got an objective teaching. Not applied subjectively to our lives. Peter Kell, who's coming to you, God bless him. He said, because I am, let him let me I be. Because I am holy in Christ, let me live a holy life. Because I am righteous, let me live a righteous life. Let us be what we are. It is true. He's Lord. British general leading his army on for victory to victory in India. They came against a great temple there. Standing outside the temple door, many of those dear benighted people. They're saying, destroy us, destroy us, but please, please don't touch your goddess. Don't touch your goddess. The great general looked into the temple door, with the power and saw a grave before his statue. He pressed me through the group, came through the door, men of war following him. He was there to say, I would rather be known as the destroyer of idols than the terror of idols. He went down, took his axe, and he hit that statue. It was a receptacle. It was hollow. The wasteful city of all the gems, the jewels, the precious stones, the money, trying to feed the God of peace with God. When that man hit that statue, he broke a shivering all around him. All the sons of the well dropped to his feet. Had he spared the idol, he'd have missed the well. There is a man who often stands betwixt me and thy glory. His name is Self. My carnal self stands betwixt me and thy glory. Oh, multiply, multiply, put him down, my Savior, and exalt thyself alone. Is this the God that's robbing your spiritual enrichment, spiritual power? Oh, look away. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abide, ruin my heart. Lord, thou art enough. Thy mind and heart are filled. Oh, fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see. His lordship is plainly declared. Richly is there, longly desired. He died, he rose. He revived. Are we going to rob him of the fruit of his passion? Mr. Hamill once gathered together briefly at seven meetings in Kingston. We were out swimming one morning. He came from every morning to out swimming together in his private swimming pool. And I never forget it. He said, Jim, we never lose our evangelistic fervor, do we? No matter how old we get, no matter how we develop as Bible teachers, there's always that evangelistic cross. So what are you getting at? I know that you're like myself, you always preach for a decision, don't you? I said, yes. And beloved, oh beloved, I am preaching for a decision right here this morning. I want you to do something as a Christian. I am preaching the gospel as a Christian. Are you willing to let go this morning? Now listen, that very thing you're thinking of now is the very thing that's coming between you and the Lord. That very thing, that very person, right now. I believe with all your heart you're going to pray with all sincerity. Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all with thee. Make me a law subject to thee in everything. My last page, because I see my time almost gone. Luke 19, I'll just give it to you. In fact, there are two verses here, and I'm going to close. Luke 19, and verse number 14. Here's where I got mixed up with the Romans 9, and verse 14 a moment ago. 19:14 here. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. His lordship is heartlessly disputed. Now it's possible for you this morning as a Christian to be heartlessly disputing his right to reign as Lord in your life. Is that true? Is that true? Look at verse 27. But those my enemy can't be the friend of the Lord and the friend of the world too. He counts you enemies. And those my enemies, which would not I to reign over them, bring hither and slay before me. I believe with all my heart, every believer will be in the Father's house. There by wondrous grace, I don't believe for one moment every Christian is in the reign of Christ. We're there by God's grace and by God's grace alone. And you can't live for the world and live for self and think you're going to share with him in that coming day. David, all this was apparently following David. But only 400 men resorted to David. Identified him with himself with him in the religious rejection. His exile. And David came to Lord who reigned with David. Those are willing to identify himself with him in his rejection. Are you willing Christ to be Lord in your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right. And all these other things shall be added unto you. I wish I were just starting now instead of finishing. But here's an illustration. It happened way yonder in Detroit during the coronation of our beautiful young queen. You don't mind me saying that, do you? I asked my host if I may have one of his radio things in my bedroom. Said, yes. He thought sort of funny about being so patriotic once in a while. All I watch is radio. 6 o'clock, I put the radio on, and I heard Oxford Turn Cultured Voice, Archbishop Canterbury, repeating John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It was beautiful. As I sat there in that bedroom, my mind was transported back to London, England. I saw the Royal Coach coming up from Buckingham Palace, going along the mall. I saw in my mind all those thousands of people there lining the mall. I saw all the fanfare, the glitter, the glamour, the glory, and all the pageantry and all the wonderful colour. And all the wonderful precision of that wonderful procession. I had all the shouting, all the yelling. And I saw the court going round by Trafalgar Square, passing James right on to that great historical building, Westminster Abbey. I saw the royal legal figure leaving that coach, going through the doors of that great historical building, packed with capacity of celebrities and dignitaries from all over the world. As that young slim girl walked down that long white aisle, every eye was focused upon her. And then it came, I'll never forget. And again I heard the archbishop saying to address peers, gentlemen, I present to you Her Royal Highness Elizabeth, are you now ready to pay her homage? And with one heart, and with one voice, they replied, we are now ready, crown the Queen! I was transported. When all the redeemed of all ages were gathered on the land and yonder glory, every eye focused upon him, still bearing the mark of Calvary's passion, and with one heart, and with one voice you shall cry, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him, Lord of all, worthy O Lamb of God of God, every knee to thee shall bow. Beloved, the Lord is here. And the Spirit is saying to your heart with my heart this morning, are you now ready to crown him, Lord of all? Will you answer as we pray? In that moment of silence, just have a quiet word with the Lord for yourself. And then we're going to sing very softly. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being and self-sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Just quietly once more as a closing prayer. I know it's coming from your heart. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being and salute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ through me always living in me. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. Amen.
the meeting is finished. I don't think it is. I think it's going to go on this morning, don't you? I believe you're going to go away into your own cabin, into your own room, and do business with God. I believe transcendence will take place this morning of eternal value. Be God, praise and glory. If tonight, today, you've entered into the joy of this, probably years ago, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. But some right here this morning, whom I know, were over 70 years of age before they entered in. And all these years, they spent in the wilderness, wandering around. But all the glory and the joy and the glory that is theirs today, because they entered in. And Christ became Lord in the life.